If you have your Bibles, let me see here. Before Mark chapter 5. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 5 and let's stand and honor reading God's Word. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And the word says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Galileans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him one out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning again. I just praise you and honor you, Lord God, and thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to be here. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we go through these scriptures, Lord God, that, Father, if there's one here that finds herself in the same place, Lord God, as this man, Lord, that they would come to you, Lord. Father, I pray and thank you, Lord God, for salvation. I thank you, Lord God, for the work that you've done on the cross, that you went through the suffering and the pain and the agony, Lord God, that we might be healed, and Father, that we might be free. Father, I thank you for that. I pray, God, if there's one here, Lord, that doesn't know you, that they make that move to you today, Lord God. They answer that still small voice. And Lord, I pray that you just speak through me your true word, Lord God. And Father, that I could say what you want me to say, Lord God, for your glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Very familiar story this morning. I don't know if I've ever preached this one, but that's where God brought me to. But anyway, I will read the scripture and we'll do what God wants us to do. The first part of the scripture says, then he came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Galileans. This was some of the history of it. I remember when I went to Israel, they would point out everywhere we went, all the places. And this country at the time that Jesus came to it was a thriving place. It was named Cursa. And there was a cliff over there, a high cliff. And if you go around the Sea of Galilee, most of it is rolling hills, like you got around Austin somewhere, maybe not even that high. But on this eastern side of it, there's this real tall cliff, and that's where this miracle takes place. Another thing that I point out to you, and I probably will again, is that this man that we're going to be talking about was most probably a Gentile. Why? Because we're going to find out that there was like 6,000 heads of hogs. And the Jewish custom and all them people, they didn't mess with no pork. I mean, so that's just a side note, just some of the history where it's coming from. So the scripture says in verse 1, let me fold this big old Bible up. I'm going to find me one on hand one day. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Galileans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. I want to stop right there. This guy, Jesus Christ, came up and he stepped on the ground. And when he stepped on the ground, immediately this man that had been full of evil spirits, that had done everything that was against everything that anybody ever told him, he came out immediately. It says, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. I want to tell you something. If you're here this morning and you are, you may not be like this guy is, but if you are not a Christian, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, there is demons in you, because the Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against demons and principalities of darkness. That is that that is in you that makes you do things that you don't want to do. And sooner or later, if you continue to let it happen like this man, you find out that when we finish the scripture, that he is in misery, he is in torment, he is in pain. He is looking for anything or anybody, and he has heard about Jesus Christ, and he went to him immediately. Now, we'll get into what he says in a minute, but let me tell you something. You may be here this morning, and you may be in the same shape. Now, you may not be living among the tombs or tearing chains off your body, but let me tell you something. I can tell you truthfully this morning, and there's some other people in there, law enforcement, Brother Charlie Pierce, John's not here this morning. I cannot tell you how strong a person can be. I'm telling you this, Brother Tommy, to realize how a normal person can't take a chain and a shackle and break it off of them. They can't do it. But there are demons that get in people right now, this day and time. We have had inmates, one for instance at the East Ham unit, you could not keep him in handcuffs, you couldn't keep him in leg irons. He would break out of them and he'd take a 16-gauge bunk on the wall and tear it off the wall, it's welded to the wall, and beat a 14-gauge stainless steel commode completely on the floor. And it would take 25 of us to get him up, to get him straightened out. And they'd have to give him a shot to knock him out because we couldn't handle him. That's where this guy was at. And you may say, well, I'm not that bad. You may be here this morning and you may have whatever your problem is. We all got problems. Every one of us got problems. But your problem may be so big that you have got out there and you have done it and done it and done it and done it until you are sick and tired of it. You don't want to do it no more. You want peace. You want help. But that demon that's in you will not let you do it. The devil will not let you do it. And so this guy immediately, he had heard about Jesus Christ. Because when he saw Jesus come, immediately he ran to him. And it says that the man had an unclean spirit and that he had lived among the tombs, that he had broken chains, that he had broken shackles, and that he had pulled them apart. And neither could anyone tame him. If you're here this morning and you're living, just say, opposite of what you were brought up by. Say you're a young man here, a young lady here. You're living opposite of what you were brought up in church. You went to Sunday school. You know that there is a God, but you're tangled up in drugs and alcohol and sex and you name it. The world's got it out there. And you cannot turn loose of it. And nobody, it said the last verse that I read, said neither could anyone tame him. Your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, your preacher, nobody can tell you anything because you already know it. That's the way this guy was. Nobody could tell him anything because he already knew it. It says they tried to talk to him. They tried to discuss it with him. And he would not, it says that he would not pay any attention to him. None of them. He wouldn't pay any attention. I lost my place. Y'all hang on. I ain't going to stop. Lord, I ain't going to stop on them. Come on. No, I'm on 5-4. 5-4. I'm going to leave it laying down there. I'm getting lost then. Lord have mercy. The devil trying to hide this now. Y'all pay attention. He's trying to hide it. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it today. Verse 4. I'm going to read verse 5. Verse 4 said, apart from him, and that he broke the chains and the shackles, that anyone tame him, and always night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stone. This guy was so entangled in the devil, in the ways of that he was doing, and you can classify that as in the ways of the world that we live in right now, that he was so miserable that he hated himself because he was in so much sin that he was even taking rocks, taking stone, and cutting himself. How many young people have you heard of lately, young people and elderly people that have killed herself? I was told the other night, two or three this week in San Jacinto County that have committed suicide. And the reason people do that is because they're tired, because they can't get any help from anybody. And to me, they're too hard-headed to get help. And the devil, just like this guy, don't be scared. I mean, I'm going to tell the truth. The devil, it's the devil. It's evil spirits. I'm not going to say that it's just cause of this or cause of that. It is the devil. The Bible says the devil is out to kill, deceive, destroy, to take away, to make young people kill herself. That's what he wants to do, because he's already lost. This man was so entangled in it, and he hated himself so that he was cutting himself. Look at verse 6. This is when the good news starts. This guy disobeyed everything there was. His parents, his family, his friends, nobody could stand him. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I don't care how far off you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care whatever your problem is. I don't care if you've been in jail, if you've been in prison, if you've been wherever you've been, wherever you're at. If you look, Jesus is there. And from afar off, this guy saw him and he ran to him. I'm going to tell you something. He's running to somebody that can help you. Like I told y'all one time, I'll tell again, it's real funny. I could even mention the name now because he's dead and gone, bless his heart. I worked for one of the old wardens at the prison one time. And we'll just call him Warden Cuz. I'll probably get a call soon from his son laughing. But we had this boy, and he would not behave. And Warden Cousin told me and another guy to bring him down to the office. He went down to the major's office, and this guy, we brought him in handcuffed, and Warden said, "Take them handcuffs off of him." We took the handcuffs off of him, and Warden Cousin asked him, he said, "Has your mom and dad ever whooped you?" "No." He said, "You finna get one." And he wore a little old belt, a little old Western belt. He pulled that belt off. And I'm talking about he wore him out. And while he was doing that, this guy began to holler. He said, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Lord, help me. God, help me." He was calling out to God. And this is funny, but I'm going to tell you what this guy was doing in this case. This guy was calling out to everybody that he knew that could help him. And finally, that's the funny part, he said, "Please, Warden, don't hit me no more." And he said, "Now, you talking to somebody that can help you." Now, this guy was talking to somebody that could help him. He had been through all of the pain, all the suffering. He was in misery. Have you ever been in sin? Have you ever been, so drunk that you were ashamed of yourself and everything around you, that you were so messed up and so entangled in sin that I got to do something. That's where this guy was at. And he saw Jesus afar off. This morning when you got up, the first thing on your mind, I don't know what it was, but somehow God brought you here and you're here for a reason. You're here because you know that Jesus Christ is going to be preached to. You know that Jesus is here and you saw him from afar off. And when this guy, it says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Are you tired today? Are you tired of it? And he cried out with a loud voice and said, with a loud voice he called out to God. We'll stop right. You know, so many times through the Bible, people holler out to God, "Help me." Think about what God done to Lazarus. Lazarus, talk about the man at the well. "Get up." You know, talk about all the cases in the Bible, the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. "What do you want?" "My sight." "Get up." He had to move. He had to go. And this guy saw that the one that could help him was God. He had tried everything else, even to the point of committing suicide. And he saw that God was the only one that could help him. And he came running from afar off. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" You know, he didn't know it, but that's what he had to do. He called out, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I need help." That's what he was saying. And that is all that you got to do this morning. You just got to cry out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I know that you're the Son of God. I know that you died on that cross. I know that you rose from that tomb. I put my faith in you that you went to heaven, that you're going to come back and you're going to receive me. And I put my faith and my trust in you." And let me tell you something. This guy, we're going to finish the rest of it. This guy done exactly, just like I said, what he was supposed to do. He ran. He confessed that God was God. And that is, and look what's happened here. He said, "What do I have to do, Jesus?" Call him Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. John 14 says, and you know when, Lord, I can't think. When Doubting Thomas looked at him and said, "Jesus, what are you talking about?" He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son." This guy hollered, "Jesus." Jesus tells us all, call on my name. You don't call on no Pope's name. You don't call on no preacher's name. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ will free you. It don't make any difference who you are, what you've done. It don't make any difference how you wear your hair, if it's orange, green, or red. It don't make any difference if you come to his house drunk as a dog or high as a kite. You just come crying out for Jesus, and he'll take care of all that junk in your life. He will take care of it. He's not in the condemning business. We're in the condemning business. We want to talk about people and how they look and how do he corrected me on that a year and a half ago. That ain't my business and ain't none of my business. My business is to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you can be healed, that you can be freed, that you can go to heaven one day and live forever. Just but this guy, Jesus, Most High Son of God. That's all he did. Like the thief on the cross, we preached about a couple. I told a guy about that this week. That guy was standing there, and I use this reference all the time because it is so true. This guy was nailed to that cross just like Christ was. He was dying. And the guy on the other side was too, and I told him this at the funeral yesterday. He cried out, "If you be the Son of God, get us down from here, free us." And the one on this side said, "Hey, man, he has not done anything. You and I are justly punished for what we do." And what did Jesus do? "This day you live with me in paradise." He ain't never been to church. He ain't never prayed. He had never done any of the things that religion has told you have to do. All he done is accept Jesus Christ as being the Savior, and he lived for eternity. This guy in this case, when he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of Most High God? I am implored." That means that he is earnestly coming, that he is earnest, that implored, that he is earnestly coming to God, that he's not hiding anything. That's what that word implore means. He is earnestly seeking God. He is not, "I'm not hiding something over here in the closet. Jesus, I want to come to you, but I got this over here. I'm going to keep this for myself, and then you take this part." That's not what Jesus is in that kind of business. He is in the kind of business he wants you all. This guy gave it all to Jesus Christ. "Jesus, Son of Most High God, I am imploring, I am earnestly seeking you, God. And you do not, wait a minute, I am implored you by God that you do not torment me." He's scared. What does he see? He not only is he confessing that God is God, but he realizes that God is the one that can punish him. He's scared. He's begging God, don't hurt me. And Jesus, loving him simply, in the same way he loves you and I. If you ask Jesus to save you, if you claim he's the Son of God, this guy broke chains. Jesus is a chain breaker. That song, he's a chain breaker. He'll break them chains, he'll take them cuffs off of you, and he will make your life 100% better. He will change your life. Not overnight, but he will change. Look at what happened to this guy. Verse 8 says, for he said to him, let me back up. I am imploring you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? Ask the guy, what is your name? This guy was so confused, was so in torment by these devils, by these demons, by the unclean spirit, he answered saying, my name is Legion, which means many. When Jesus asked him, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country, that he would send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So the demon begged him. The demon begged him. Let me say something. At the name of Jesus Christ, the demon, the devil, cannot stick around. He got to go. When you cry out, Jesus, the devil can't stay. But not only was this guy begging him, don't hurt me, them demons in him was telling God, they knew that they were defeated. The devil that rides in your body right now, that resides in your body, knows right now that he has got you right now. But he knows that he has been defeated, that he is a liar and he's trying to deceive you and con you into going to hell. And so this the devils that were in him begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged. The demons begged him. This is not the guy. This is the demons in the guy that is begging Jesus. The devil cannot stay around when Jesus Christ's name is mentioned. And when you call on the name of Jesus, the devil is gone. Look here. Them demons crawled out saying, send us in the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Stop right. Do you realize that Jesus has to give the devil permission? The devil can't do nothing on his own. You see what the word says? The devil can't do anything on his own. The demons had to ask Jesus for permission to go into the house. And so, at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out, entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. We talked about it last week in Hebrew. When Jesus Christ died on that cross at Calvary, sin was defeated. Sin was dead. When Jesus Christ sent them demons out of that man into them hogs, what did they do? Pew. I have been right there. We rode the boat right there, that cliff where them hogs dove off in there, 2,000 or 3,000 feet. That's a high, high cliff. Them hogs run. Jesus, when you say, Jesus, help me, I'm lost, I'm hurting, I don't know what to do this morning, I'm in misery. My parents have talked to me, the preachers have talked to me, I've heard it, you've been convicting me. When you holler, Jesus, come forth, Jesus is going to come forth, and the devil has got to find a new place to go. And he will. He'll try to come back, but he can't. He can never come back again. This guy, the hogs run off the cliff. It says, then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see that it was that had happened, see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in the right mind. Can you imagine that? And they were afraid. Can you imagine that? These people had saw, I don't know how old this man was. This people had looked at him all their life, roaming in the tombs and the graveyard, cutting himself, hollering and screaming, racked up in chains. And now they saw this guy sitting there talking to Jesus, and it scared them. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him, who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. You go. Told him to go. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion. And he departed and began to proclaim to Decapolis and all that Jesus had done to him, and all the people marveled. When Jesus comes into your heart, he will change your life. When you really get Jesus Christ in your heart, he will change your life. But people, the devil that is out there will destroy you if you let him. But there's no reason for you to let him, because Christ paid that price on the cross at Calvary. And I'm going to tell you something. All you got to do this morning, you feel that tug at your heart, you feel you're got to do something. You came here this morning knowing, you know, I need to do something. I remember the first time I stepped out of that car, I've told y'all 1,000 times, and off of 105 in Navasota, Texas, I never will. It didn't make me any difference what the preacher said. I knew, hey, today is my day. You may know this morning before you walked out of your car, God has been talking to you since midnight. Today's the day. You simply got to obey that voice. That's all you got to do. What I have to do, you don't have to do nothing but say yes. Like I said, the blind man, Barnabas, the lady at the well, just all through the gospel, all they had to do is do something. The virgin that they, the prostitute that they threw at Jesus' feet, man cannot do anything. They all left. Jesus asked them, if you're guilty, cast the first stone. They had to leave from the most educated to the least educated. They left. Wasn't nobody but Jesus and her. He said, go your way and sin no more. Free. That's all you got to do. Give it to him daily, every day. It's a daily fight. It's a daily struggle. But that salvation that Jesus paid for on the cross, it is finished, it is done, it is over with. All you got to do is claim it. Lay claim on it. That's all you got to do. You like the gold mines and the gold rush. They had to lay claim on the gold mines, and it was theirs. All you got to do is lay claim on Jesus Christ, and he is worth more than any gold mine that there ever has been. I'm going to read a paragraph that Billy Graham talked about sin, and it reminded me of this story right here. I wrote it down this morning in one of my books. And just think about sin. We just sang a song a while ago. How sweet it is to hold a newborn baby. How, because he lives, and how it resembles Jesus Christ came as a baby. Think about your life when you first started out. You were a tender sprout. How about them babies that were standing in that aisle a while ago when we were singing? They're more precious than anything. That they're They're better than you and I because they don't know. They dependent on mom and daddy. And Jesus has got them in their hand. Think about you. Billy Graham said, sin does not secure. Let me start over. Sin does not serve well as a garden of the soul. It's landscape, the contour of the soul, until all that is beautiful has been made ugly. Until all that is high has been made low. Until all that is promising is wasted. Then life is like the desert, parched, barren. It is drained of its purpose. It is bleached of happiness. Sin then is not wise, but wasteful. It is not a gate. It is not a gate, but only a grave. This old boy that come out of them tombs, cried on Jesus Christ, he went as soon as he was saved. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be with him. And I tell you this morning, if you accept Jesus Christ, he will be with you everywhere you go. He's with you right now. This old boy went and proclaimed the gospel to other people in that town. You've tried everything else, right? You tried everything in there for happiness. Every one of you tried everything for happiness. I tried it all. I tried everything. Nothing worked. Nothing ever worked in my life. You say, oh, preacher, thinks he, I ain't perfect. Every one of us in here, there's not a perfect one in here. The only one that was ever perfect, the only one that kept the Ten Commandments went to that cross. And he gave his life. And he loved you and I so much, he gave that life for you and I. And so, you might think you just came here this morning for because you wanted to, but you came here this morning because you saw Jesus afar off. And you came to this church house not to hear a preacher, but to hear God's word, and God want to talk to you. Whoever you are, I know there's people out here. And all you got to do right now, you say, I can't do that. I can't change my whole lifestyle. See, that's the wonderful thing about it. You don't have to change your lifestyle. If you get Jesus, he will change it. He's like the potter and the clay. He'll keep on spending you, and he'll show you something, and you'll get rid of it, and he'll spend you some more, and he'll show you something else, and you'll get rid of it, and he say, I got it made, now I'm perfect. Now there's some more. And he keeps on tearing that clay up and putting it back on there till he... One, when you will be perfect is the day that you enter in to God's rest. That's the day you'll be perfect. It all depends on Jesus. So I ask you this morning, do you know him? If you call on his life today, you're going to heaven. If he comes today, are you ready? Do you know him? Let's stand. So truth comes to the piano. Search your mind. Search your heart. People, if Jesus is calling, please answer him. You can answer him where you're at. You can come down here and we'll pray with you. But the only one that can help you, of all the people, you can talk to the doctors, you can talk to the lawyers, you can do it all. But the only one that can help you is Jesus Christ. And if you call on him, he will pick you up, he will dust you off, and he will start you out on that walk. It is not his wish that any of his children go to hell. But if we don't, there's a day coming. Father God, I come to you right now. And I ask you, Lord God, to send your precious Holy Spirit. I know it's already here, Lord God, to the hearts and minds of your people, Lord God. And I pray, God, if there's legions in here, Lord God, that they leave here right now in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. And I pray, Lord, that it's fair in the hearts of men, that they would come forward, they would get on their knees, and they would pray to you, God, and cry out, oh God, most high God, I believe in you, and I want to trust you with my life. And Father, we know just like this man, God, that you'll dress them up, you'll clean them up, but you'll put new clothes on them, and when they get out there this evening, their friends won't even know them. It'll scare them because they've changed so much. Father, we give you the praise. In your precious name we pray. Amen.